Republicans took over the lower chamber at the start of the year, hoping to drastically slash the federal debt, but it now sits at more than $15 trillion. When looking back at his freshman year, Virginia Republican Morgan Griffith says a high point was keeping the lights on.
While it's been unseemly at times, we have not shut the government down.
It's pretty low bar.
But it has to be.
Griffith says the bar has to be so low because House Republicans are forced to work with the Democratic Senate.
You know, it's very frustrating. We haven't gotten done everything that I would like to have seen us get done, but we've sent an awful lot over to the Senate that's never been acted on.
The House sent more than 20 bills to the Senate that GOP lawmakers maintain will create jobs, mainly through unwinding regulations, many on clean air and water standards. But those anti-regulation bills, coupled with an effort to turn Medicare into what amounts to a voucher program, haven't sat well with Democrats.
It is maybe in some ways the most radical Congress ever, since certainly the Civil War.
That's Northern Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly. The Democrat says instead of entertaining tax increases on the wealthiest Americans, Republicans have been slashing support in areas that are vital to U.S. competitiveness.
Infrastructure, research and development, education. These are investments that have huge payoff. And we're actually disinvesting, all under the guise that the debt is so big we can't afford to do both. And that's a false proposition.
Virginia Democratic Senator Mark Warner spent much of the year trying to hammer out an acceptable compromise to slash the debt. His bipartisan group, informally called the Gang of Six, was passed over as party leaders created the supercommittee, which devolved into partisan wrangling. Warner says both parties failed to address the biggest issues facing the nation this year.
None of these problems have gone away. And, you know, particularly around the debt issues, we're going to have to wrestle with this. I mean, the question becomes, are we going to wrestle with it on our timetables, or are we going to have this forced upon us by the bond markets the way we've seen the circumstance in Europe?
Congress did pass three bipartisan free trade agreements and also worked out agreements on some long-term spending bills. Lawmakers also raised the nation's debt ceiling, but only after coming within days of defaulting, which led to the downgrading of the U.S. credit rating. All of this left Congress with a mere 9% approval rating, which seems high to Virginia Democratic Congressman Jim Moran.
I'm surprised, frankly, that our family and friends amount to 9%, because I know all my family wouldn't support this Congress.
With gridlock reigning for much of 2011, what's in store for the 2012 election year? Analysts predict more of the same. But Senator Warner says Congress needs to bring down the debt, or else either President Obama or the eventual GOP nominee will be imperiled.
We don't want the next president's first action to be in 2013 to have to raise the debt ceiling $3 trillion. That's a recipe for hobbling the next president right out of the block. So we've got some work to do.
Lawmakers in both parties admit many disappointments in 2011, yet both parties also blame each other for the nation's lingering problems. If that's any indication, it seems neither side is preparing to back down in 2012. Just as the year began, so it ends in Washington. Gridlocked. I'm Matt Laszlo reporting.